You could only take a suit coat so long. Tonight, I am hot. I'm going to change my topic to hell tonight, I think. In an issue of the comic Close to Home, there's a classic scene. The wife is on her side of the bed, has a book in hand, the lamp is on. She's enjoying reading a little bit of her book before she goes to bed. On her husband's side of the bed are two cans of trash. And her husband is standing there on that side looking at that trash, and his thought process is revealed in the comic. Okay, she's trying to tell me something here. I was supposed to do something. Think, Dave, think. And the caption focuses on the issue. The Galsteins were experiencing some serious communication problems. The cross of Christ, my dear friends, is the focal point of a serious communication problem between humanity and the God of heaven. For many, Jesus is a good man, maybe even a prophet, maybe even a begotten Son of God, but not equal with God. Begotten, but not equal. His words on the Sermon on the Mount are widely accepted. But his words and his work on Mount Calvary are either ignored or loudly rejected. You all have unsaved friends and relatives who would probably fall into one of those places. And for many, the cross is a beautiful piece of jewelry that's hung around the neck, or on a ring, or on a chain. And God is saying to us, through the cross, think, look, see what is before you. He is clearly communicating to us His purpose. It is us, it is humanity, who struggle with the message of the cross. I want us to look, first of all, at the reality of the cross, as we read in Luke 23, and then its significance in our lives from another passage in the New Testament. Luke 23, not many reject the fact of a man named Jesus. First and second century historians write of him. There's too much evidence of this man of Galilee from Nazareth. Luke is but one record of the cross. And in verse 33, he says, "There they crucified him." Those words by this credible witness begin his description of the horror of death by way of the cross. The nails driven through his body. I was fixing a fence this week with my son in the backyard to keep our grandson from running to Illinois. And we had bungee cords we were trying to put around the fence, and one of them hooked my index finger. And he didn't know that, and he pulled from the other side. I can't imagine what a nail would feel like. I think if you haven't seen The Passion of Christ, you should see it. Because Mel Gibson depicts the horror of the crucifixion. His garments stripped from him. The mocking of the people. The biting blasphemy of the criminals. The agony of separation from his Father. And in verse 49, Luke closes the section and says, all his friends, including the women who were with him, seeing these things. More eyewitnesses. But what does this event really mean to me? What does it mean to us right now? What is the living spiritual significance of the cross? It's easy just to come here. Some of you I know as children are probably here because mom and dad said it's Easter and it's Good Friday and we're going to be in church. You come here for a variety of reasons. And the cross may just be a fact in history or a story in history to you. And if most adults were honest, that it is to us too at times. What is the reality of this fact, of this event? In a recent survey by Christian researcher George Barna, 71% of American adults believe there is no such thing as absolute truth. That's bad enough. But 64% of people who call themselves born-again Christians agree with that. There's no absolute truth. In other words, applied to our thoughts tonight, there is a belief in the reality of the cross, but not in the truth that it represents. And an application of that evidence, of that truth, that is filtering down into our lives today. We talk about it. We see it in Scripture. We hear it preached. But what does it mean to me as I walk today? For many, that event is divorced from application, a break from practicing what we know and what we say is the truth. So what is the significance of the cross? If you have your Bibles, Galatians 2:20. Many of you know by heart. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Three things tonight. Redemption. Here's the significance. The redemption. In Him, Paul says in Ephesians 1:7, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Imagine that. Christ delivered me from my sins with the price of His own blood. Not silver or gold or paper money, but with His blood. Romans 6:23 should be read this way. The wages of my sins is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a great idea behind the word redemption. It has to do with the marketplace. The images of the Roman system of slavery and the buying and selling of people. Two ideas are striking to me. Number one, Christ went into the marketplace and He purchased me. That's the image. He came into humanity's marketplace and bought me with His own blood. His own life's blood. Think on that. Secondly, there's an emphasis on buying out of the marketplace. He purchased us and He removed each of us so there is no further sale. We belong to Him and Him alone. The finality of the redemption. Galatians 4:5, He redeemed those who were under the law that we might receive the adoptions as sons. The finality of being purchased by the very blood of Jesus Christ. My transaction came in 1960. 1961, when I was a young boy. My dad was preaching one Sunday night. And he gave the invitation and I raised my hand, but I didn't want to pray that night. I didn't want to trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior that night. I went home and I wanted them to do it. I said, I'm too afraid. You take care of this transaction for me. And they wouldn't do it. So a week later, I made that personal to realize the wages of my sin is death. And God had saved me. And I ask you tonight, when did your purchase take place? If you haven't been transacted by the blood of Christ, what are you waiting for? His redemption, His blood is there. All you have to do is believe and accept it. Second thing I notice in Galatians 2:20 is freedom. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The words of Paul in Romans 6:6-8, you know this passage, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who had died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Let's illustrate it this way. You commit a capital crime. Justice demands capital punishment. Your life is required for the crime you committed. And so you pay your debt to society and the law by your death. And if you were to rise from the dead, you would be absolutely guiltless of the law. You would be absolutely free to live with the law having no more claim on you, because you have paid the penalty of that crime. So too, spiritually, the old has no claim on us. None. Because of Christ's death. Dying with Christ is death to sin's power. Now, freedom is at hand. You only sin, we only sin because we choose to. Yes, the flesh is strong and powerful, but it is broken. And we can live and we can walk in victorious freedom in Christ. If anything, that should get us smiling more. The freedom that we have in Christ. I was having a flashback to the 60s and I was watching Woodstock and Richie Havens. And the signature song of Woodstock was freedom. Freedom. Jesus Christ is calling in a spiritual term in way. We are free in Christ. It is Christ in me. It's the best kind of freedom that we can have. Third thing is identification. The I gives way to Christ. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I accept the cross not as some kind of abstract concept, not something I wear around my neck or on my ring finger. It is the reality of I take Christ's cross as my cross, His death as my death. And I take my place as the one He has died for me, to this world and to sin and to self. And I'm no more under the law. I am only living by His grace. I am identified only in Jesus Christ. There's two thoughts that are striking with this identification. The first is this. Christ makes us one. If you haven't read the book of Galatians recently, read it again. Chapter 3, verse 26 to 28. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, think about what that means. It stills the three great and grand tensions of humanity. Race, class, and gender. What are the things that we fight about in the world today? Race, social, economic class, and male and female issues. And Paul says, we are one in Christ. Therefore, number two, our boast is to be only in the cross. Paul puts it this way in chapter 6 and verse 14 of Galatians, says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Boast is to rejoice in. It is to vaunt. It is to lift up in a good sense. It is to brag about in a positive sense that we are boasting only in the cross. I want to put this idea grammatically as we close. Christ erases the hyphens. Hyphens are to bring two words together. Any English teachers here, hope I get this right, to represent a single idea. In effect, in our culture and how it's used, those hyphens divide and single out identities that are to be united. We see it in our cultural struggles. We have Mexican Americans. We have African Americans. We have Arab Americans. No, we are Americans. We are citizens of this country. I am not a French American. I'm not a Caucasian American. My race, my ethnic background is merged into one identity that we call a citizen of this country. And the same goes, my brothers and sisters, for our identity in Christ. There is no such thing as a Jewish Christian, a French Christian, a Czech Christian. I boast in the cross, not in my race. I boast in the cross, not my social position. I'm in a higher class. I make a lot of money. I'm a pastor. Let's take up another offering. I don't boast in my sexuality. I boast in the cross. I am in Christ. On the flip side, I do not become raceless, genderless, or without social class. Those are the identities of who I am in this world. But each of these things find meaning in the cross, and they are the wonderful diversities of the Church of Jesus Christ. The world has co-opted the diversity philosophy. Jesus Christ has solved it in the cross. And they are ripping apart our world and churches, and we are, by our misunderstanding of placing ourselves ahead of the cross. Lift high the cross, not the hyphen of division. Are you listening? Think. God has spoken to us in the cross. Max Lucado puts it this way in his book, A Gentle Thunder. He says, once there was a man who dared God to speak. Burn the bush like you did for Moses, God, and I will follow you. Collapse the walls like you did for Joshua, God, and I will fight. Spill the waves like you did on Galilee, God, and I certainly will listen. And so the man sat by a bush, near a wall, close to the sea, and he waited for God to speak. And God heard the man, so God answered. He sent fire, not a bush, but for a church. He brought down a wall, not of brick, but of sin. He stilled a storm, not of the sea, but of the soul. And he waited, and he waited, and he waited. But because the man was looking at bushes, not hearts, bricks, and not lives, seas and not souls, he decided that God had done nothing. Finally, he looked to God and asked, have you lost your power? And God looked at him and said, have you lost your hearing? Think. Listen. Observe. Understand the cross. Let's bow together. Everything in our flesh, Father, wants to put the great I in front of everything we do. And the cross reminds us we cannot do nothing except that we have been redeemed and identified in You and have the shackles of sin removed. And then we can lift high the I in the cross. Father, help us to understand and come to grips with the message of this piece of wood that carried Your Son and whom we have redemption, forgiveness of sins. What a blessing. What a joy. thank you again. Would you sing with me with heads bowed and eyes closed? Just the chorus before we come to close. At the cross where I first saw the light, the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Church said, amen.